This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 165, Ready, Set, Go, The Holiday Dash. And so whether you're listening to this right before we get ready for the Christmas season or listening in the archives sometimes later, I hope that this will give you some hope that even if you're not the most organized or you don't have it all together, I'm going to give you a practical as well as a spiritual side of getting ready for the holidays without being overwhelmed, or at least hoping that you won't be overwhelmed after you listening to this episode. Today, I want to thank our sponsors, Media Angels, and also want you to look out at the mediaangels.com website for two particular products, especially now during the holiday season. And the first is an Advent calendar I put together for my family a couple of years ago. I wanted my children not only to do a countdown to Christmas, but to make it meaningful. And one of the things I wanted the kids to do was to read a little scripture verse, but also to have a little note from me that they could put in these pockets in a little file folder. So I created a little crafty file folder thing when there's instructions as well as an audio that helps you prepare for Advent, and also instructions on how to create this for your own home and your family. And the other is a book I wrote, A Few Minutes with God. I had a book launch earlier in the year. And this is a book for your kids, especially young teens and older teens that want to know how to hear God. It's a fiction account of a brother and sister and how they journey toward hearing God's voice in their lives. And I hope that also will be a blessing. It was a book I wrote for my kids when they kept asking me to pray for them. And so I asked them, I said, you know, why do you want me to pray for you and you're not praying to the Lord? I mean, I'm happy to help pray, but, you know, it just kind of puzzled me. And they said, well, that's because you hear God and we don't. And we don't know if we're really hearing God or if we're just making it up. And so that really surprised me that they said that. And in doing so, that's when I came up with this idea from the Lord when I prayed. And it was a book to help them to learn to pray in a way that they could just be silent and hear the Lord. So hopefully that will be a book that will bless your families as well. Well, today I want to share with you kind of a short story of what I did in my e-zine this week. So I send out a weekly email to everyone on our email group. And if you're not part of it, you can either go to mediaangels.com and sign up there or the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.com. And so the heading on this email said, congratulations. And then I proceeded to go on and say, you know, you've made it through Thanksgiving and, you know, congratulations on that. And I started thinking later, as, you know, kind of a tongue-in-cheek, and thinking, you know, that's what we do. We get through a specific birthday or milestone event, an anniversary or a celebration of a friend's, you know, accomplishment, whatever that might be, whether they're, you know, you're going to a graduation or, you know, some sort of activity at church. And every task that gets completed, we just breathe a sigh of relief, and we have one, you know, nanosecond of respite before we launch into the next thing. And this year, Anne was home for Christmas, and Anne is going to college in Maryland. And so this is the first child who has gone away to college. And it's been really hard on mom, to say the least. But anyway, when Anne was getting ready to make her decision of whether or not to go away this summer, her one request was that when she came home at Thanksgiving, that we would put up the Christmas tree. And I thought, are you kidding me? We're just going to be getting through with Thanksgiving, and we do some Black Friday shopping. No, we do not get up in the middle of the night, nor do we go on Thanksgiving evening. But there are certain stores we go to the next day early, like at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and get some really good deals. And that really helps, especially when buying for extended family. And so, you know, I said to her, and this is back in August, okay, we'll do that. And so, you know, we had just gotten through with our big Thanksgiving meal and all of our company, and now we were going to have to launch into, you know, setting everything up for Christmas and going and getting our tree and everything else. And so that's why I felt like I had to say congratulations. We made it through Thanksgiving, and we'd made it through the weekend. But you know, that's how I know many of you feel, that, you know, we get our one event done and then we launch into the very next one. So today I'm going to balance this with a list of practical and spiritual. And when I give you these lists, as most of you know, if you've listened to me for a while, I'm not a list person. I don't get a whole huge list together of things I have to do, which is why I tend to forget a lot of what I need to do if it's not on a calendar somewhere. I do make calendar notifications, and I do make notifications on my phone. And I do try, especially when I am really, really busy and have a lot I need to get done, to have a running list of things I need to get done. But I'm not a check it off the list kind of person, although I would like to be. So, you know, as I give you these lists, don't let it be another burden to you. Don't let it be, oh no, you know, here's another person who's trying to tell me what I need to do. I want this to be an assurance for you that you can do it, and that it's going to have a practical as well as a spiritual element to help us all to prepare for the coming of the celebration of our Savior's birth. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, and when we come back, I will give you the rundown of the practical and spiritual elements to getting ready for Christmas. We'll be right back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a 3-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon. Well, hi everyone, and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. You can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Look for episode 165, Ready, Set, Go, Holiday Dash. Well, today I'm talking about the practical and spiritual elements of getting ready for the holidays. And so let's start with the practical first. And the first on my list is we need to keep schooling, right? We can't just stop schooling, especially if we haven't already planned to take all of December off. Now, if you have, and I tried to do that when I had younger children, it really is a blessing. I know one year I saved learning about the composers for December because that was something I wanted to get to, and we never seemed to have time. And it was really a beautiful unit that we did. And, you know, we learned all about the different composers and we listened to music, and we could do that while doing other things. And it was a really fun activity. So if you don't already have your December planned with some real fun, you know, activities that are not necessarily, you know, the math and the reading and the spelling and all of that, you might try to do that. One thing I would say is if you can at all possibly take at least 2 weeks off before Christmas and at least a week after, that will be such a blessing to you. Even if you're using some of that time to prepare lessons, especially after Christmas, it just will give everyone a break and everyone will be excited to start school again. So that would be the first thing, you know, keep schooling if you can, but try to change it up a little bit. Number two is keep it simple. If you don't already have some activities or projects that you are doing, I would say wait until after the holidays. Or what you can do is take an activity or a project and turn it into a present. Now, the little ones and I, and these are my grandkids, have started doing some paintings, and I love to paint. In fact, my kids have given me acrylics through the years to kind of encourage me to paint, and I just haven't had time. And so finally, the grandkids are the ones who have gotten me painting again because they wanted to learn. So I worked with them, and then they wanted to sit and watch me paint a scene, and so I've gotten started with that. And so I'm going to turn that into presents for my grandkids as well as my children, and I'm excited about that. I am, you know, setting aside some time to do that, and it's an outlet for me as well as a present for them. So that could be something, but do keep it simple if you can. The third is make it in bulk. So whether you are baking or you are, you know, making food for the family, try to think of doing more than one meal at a time and freezing the other if you have the space. So my daughter is coming over, and this is my second oldest child, Christina, the one I wrote the Truth Seekers mystery series with. And she's now a homeschool mom and has a few little ones. And her husband's going out of town this week. So we are using that opportunity to make all of our Christmas dough and for our cookies and baking. So we will make some batches and freeze them. And what we've done through the years, instead of freezing a huge, you know, clump of dough, we freeze them in smaller bags so we can pull them out and maybe make one or two trays of cookies. If you give sweets away to family or friends, you give a variety. And by the time you're done making, you know, all this different cookie dough and baking it, the kitchen's a huge mess and you swear off baking ever again for the rest of your life, right? You're just done. And so in doing it this way, you know, we make a big mess in the kitchen one day, and then after that, we can just pull it out of the freezer the night before, stick it in the fridge, and the next day we can, you know, either roll out our dough or, you know, use whatever you're going to do to make the cookies and then bake them, and they'll be nice and fresh, and you can make them just when you want them. I know I've had gingerbread dough left over in the freezer, and my kids are so thrilled if they're getting ginger cookies in February, so it won't go to waste. Also, on the side of making cookies, I stopped years ago giving them away to friends. It just got to be this huge undertaking, and my friends were growing and growing the list anyway. So I will take some cookies to a party that I'm going to be going to. Other than that, the cookies go to family that comes over on Christmas Day. And so they'll take home a tray of cookies, and it mostly goes to the ones that don't bake themselves. And it's a blessing for them because, again, you know, it's something that they don't normally do themselves. Number four, again, on the practical front, is to clean and tidy in sections. So I know we all love to have a clean house, and unless you have a cleaning lady coming in, and, you know, going through your house, it very rarely looks clean all at the same time. So what I've started doing is cleaning sections of the house. And, you know, when I'm really desperate, that's when I get somebody in just to do my floors and bathrooms before a big event. And this year, I just forgot to pick up the phone and call someone to help out. And so I approached my youngest son and I said to him, you know, I need some help here. And this is, you know, what I was going to pay the cleaning people to come. And how about, you know, you help me and we'll split the difference. And he was really enthusiastic about doing it, did a really good job. And, you know, as he's available with time constraints and, you know, he's taking some college classes and he has sports, he's going to be helping me out. So whatever that is, you know, we were able to just do our big stuff like the floors and the bathrooms at the last minute because I've been cleaning just in small zones. So I might just do one room for one day and then move to the next. Like today it was the kitchen, because if you are my friend on Facebook, you saw the post that before Thanksgiving, one of my ovens went out. And it turned into the warming oven instead of a baking oven. That was the bad news. And the good news is, praise God, I have two other ovens. I have wall ovens. And believe me, I did get a lot of flack over the fact that I have three ovens. But I don't use them all the time, obviously. But when I do bake, they come in really handy. And so I guess the motherboard is out on the one oven that isn't very old and it was still under warranty. But when the guy pulled out the oven, as you can imagine, it was dirty back there. And so I quickly got out a little mop and cleaned back there as he pulled it out. And then, you know, I was able to clean the kitchen and everything after he left. So that's something you might want to consider too, is that you know, you do that, you clean up in batches. And then the fifth is to, you know, share your time with others. You know, sometimes it's just not feasible to have a big party or to have everyone over, but there's nothing wrong with meeting with friends and maybe bringing some cookies and having the kids get together, or, you know, meeting at someone's house who has a little bit more room and everybody bringing something for a potluck. There are so many things we can do to celebrate this time of year. And, you know, obviously the places like the nursing homes get inundated at times like this. But there are so many things that we can do, and we just need to be a little creative and keep our eyes open to see if there are friends in need. And now for the spiritual side of the house. You know, the first is, I have a note here. It says, "Dear Jesus, help me," and a big exclamation point. That's how my number one is starting with prayer. How are we readying our heart? Are you tired and frustrated? I know when I get really tired and frustrated, and I'm not just talking about physically tired, but just like tired within and tired of the same old, or tired of even thinking about what the next thing you know, I need to do is, I realize that I am not leaning on the Lord. When I am not leaning on the Lord and I am trying to do things under my own strength, that's when I start, you know, feeling this weariness and this frustration. And so that's the first thing I do, is I cry out to the Lord and I lean on Him. And I ask Him, you know, Lord, is this something that I should be doing? Or should I cut this out of my, you know, of my to-do list, whatever that is for you. You know, I've asked this question before in my podcast too. It's like, what is that one thing that you would like to do if you could, or if you had time? You know, and I'm not talking about the materialistic, you know, go on the big shopping spree. And I know a lot of you that listen are not like that anyway. But what is that one thing? Is it taking a break for 5 minutes and just having some time to yourselves? And I know some of you that have little ones, that's, you know, you're looking at me or looking at the MP3 player, the computer, or your, you know, phone and going, right, Felice, like, I have time to do that. I can't even go to the bathroom by myself, right? And I know that because when the little ones are over here, and these are my grandkids, you know, you don't have time to even think of you know, a free second to do something. And I'm blessed because I can plan before they come over and have things ready to go. I always say how good they are when they come over. And we were just out to dinner with everyone when Annie was home. We went out after church. And so we had 6 little ones and an infant. So that's 7 children under the age of 10, plus my, you know, 2 teenagers, my 21-year-old, the 35-year-old, and my daughter, you know, and her family. That's all the little kids. And my husband and I, and I could see on the server's face the look of fear. Oh, no, you know, here they come. After he served our food, he kept coming back with refills and things and kept saying over and over and over again how good the kids were, how good they were. And it's because their mom has told them, she was saying they hadn't been out to eat in quite a while, that she tells them ahead of time what she expects and what's going to happen. If you're not sitting down, no one's allowed to get up. When you go into the restaurant, you're going to sit down. And this is what we're going to do, or this is what's going to happen. Daddy or I are going to take you out and we're going to talk, you know, you're going to be in trouble. And so it's the same thing when the little ones come over. I have that time to set things up and to get things ready. But so many times we start the day without a plan. And then we get frustrated when the kids are bad. And so what you need to do first is lean on the Lord and just have that few minutes of prayer, even if it's just, Jesus, please help me. Because God will honor those prayers because you are in His will and doing His will, and that is taking care of your children. So God is going to be there for you, and He is going to honor that. The second is celebrating Advent, and Advent means coming, and whether it's making the Advent calendar that I talked about as well as having an Advent wreath, and we do that and have one out. In fact, just had our first evening prayers, and we even called my daughter, who's back at school, and she was on the phone as we were praying last night. And so, you know, why do we do a wreath? Because it's a circle, and it just reminds us that God is eternal. There is no beginning or no end with God. And there's a lot of symbolism that goes into the Advent calendar as well as the Advent wreath and the counting down in the days before Christmas. But it also gets our hearts ready. And we start with, and I'm just going to go quickly through without going into great detail, about what you can do with an Advent wreath. But we start with our devotional with the reading of Scripture. And then after I read the Scripture reading, we just have a little bit of time of quiet. And that's just to listen and to ponder those words. The third part is prayer. We ask for prayers for the less fortunate. You know, we have specific prayer intentions. The fourth is a closing blessing. And the fifth is we go around the room and we each share what we're thankful for. And that is what we do every night leading up to Christmas. And then on Christmas Day, we light a white candle in the middle of our Advent wreath. And we do the same exact things. And we thank God, you know, for the beautiful day. And we do that before we open any presents or even eat breakfast. And it's just a wonderful way to start our day putting God first. The third thing in our spiritual journey toward celebrating Christmas is small acts of goodness or charity or kindness or love or whatever you want to call it. But it's an activity you can do with your children, and you can even do this with older kids. You know, I always laugh when my older kids are more enthusiastic about doing these things that we did when they were younger. Because I keep thinking, you guys are going to outgrow this, and they don't. Just like they like me to read out loud, you know, they still like to do these little activities. And one is taking a manger, which we have, where we lay the child Jesus on Christmas morning. And it's empty. And so we have little pieces of straw or hay, and you can buy that at any craft store, you know, or go get grass outside, you know, pull out some clumps of grass and have it in a little baggie. And when the kids do something that is worthy of one of these acts of kindness, and what I try to tell the children is, let me catch you doing good. You know, it's not purposely doing it. And when they're little, they're not going to get it. And they're going to do something like, you know, I made my sister's bed. Can I have a little straw for Jesus's manger? And of course, I'm going to, you know, give in to that. But it's to encourage them to be just to do this because they're blessing their siblings or you as a parent. And it's amazing how quickly that manger gets filled. And we talk about, you know, wanting to have the manger filled before we lay Jesus down on Christmas Day. So that's a little activity you can do with the younger ones or the older ones if your kids are like mine and still want to get into the act. The fourth is a time of quiet. And again, I'm going to mention the book, A Few Minutes with God. And the reason I'm mentioning this book is because when my children were asking me to pray for different things and, you know, asking, well, how do you hear God? I just prayed to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, how do I teach them this? You know, I did pull out the Bible and I did talk to them, but none of it seemed to make an impact. So this little story, you know, explains in some, you know, in a fiction account how to listen to the Lord. And this is after many, many years of my own journey toward hearing God. I'm a very strong, strong-willed person. You may or may not know that. I get these ideas and I act upon them very quickly. I'm a person of action. I don't like to sit around and think about it, you know, for 12 years. I just want to do it. And so that often gets me in trouble. I always say I'm going to write a book, you know, jump before you think, but then I don't jump before I think. So I'd have to have somebody, you know, or think before you jump. That's it. Yeah, I do jump before I think. I had that backwards. But you get the idea, right? I just illustrated it perfectly there. And the problem is that when we are listening to the Lord, there has to be a time of quiet. There has to be a time of, you know, just you and God. And that can be when you're in bed, because again, because you have little ones. I know I got a lot of praying done when I was nursing, especially my third son. When I was nursing him, that's when I prayed for my daughter and her spouse. That's when I prayed for my oldest son. That's when I prayed for my husband. It was a time I remember with great clarity of having that, you know, that the Lord impressed upon me, you think you have no time. This is your time right now when you are, you know, a nursing mom. So for those of you who are nursing a child or have little ones, that can be the time that you are, you know, when you're going for a walk. And, you know, these are times of quiet where you can just say to the Lord, here I am, Lord. You know, I am here. What do you want of me? Am I doing your will? And just quiet and listen to the Lord. I talk a lot. So it was very difficult for me to learn that God just wants a quiet time with us so that, you know, he can talk to us. And the fifth part of a spiritual walk at the beginning of the Christmas season is, to share the love of Christ with others. And one of the best ways you can do this is with Christmas cards. And I'm going to call this the dreaded chore of Christmas cards. I had a list of hundreds of people that I've now cut down to about 50. And I used to dread those Christmas cards. I would try to get them out as soon as I could. In fact, this year I already have pictures for a Christmas card because they're from our family reunion that we had this summer. And even though I'm ready to go, I still haven't done it. So a lot of times when family gets together, I remember my mother-in-law used to say, okay, no religion and no politics. And I used to think, well, we're all Catholic. So what's the difference? Why are we not even getting to talk about religion? But I guess, you know, everyone would get into these heated debates on different things. And this is a time where we're not politically correct. We love Jesus. We are celebrating Christ in Christmas. And what better way than helping others to see our love of God, whether it's in a Christmas letter that you write, and, you know, don't make it 12 pages long. One of my husband's cousins, who I dearly love, writes these beautiful long Christmas letters, and she doesn't tend to get them out till later on. Like, I think we've got one time in February, and I agree with everything she says. You know, we're different denominations, but I love her thought behind her words, and I'm just thinking, you know, I just wish that this had gone out earlier, and maybe it's all in God's timing. You know, maybe that is when the Lord wants people to get it in their hands after the busyness of the holidays, because then it's the only card you've got and you'll read it. I don't know. But I try to keep my letters to a page, and I just share a little bit about our year and also about my love of God. And if we can do that and we can share our faith, we are inadvertently helping others, maybe opening their eyes to the first time of the love that God has for them. And they can see it through the love that you have for the Lord and see it through your eyes. Well, thanks so much for listening. The show notes are on Vintage Homeschool Moms, episode 165 on Ready, Set, Go Holiday Dash. Take care, guys. God bless. And be sure to sign up for that e-zine so you can stay in touch with all that we're doing. And I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.